Welcome in! Latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike. Go on the Twitters and don't turn off. But Cousin Shane not here. Cousin Shane's on vacation for a week. So, yeah, college football is here. It's week zero. Perfect time for Cousin Shane to take a week off. Let us know at the last minute here. So Cousin Shane's not going to be available. He will be back. He's not doing his morning show. You know, he'll quit that before long too. But again, we're going to be locked in. We're going to have shows all week long. You're going to get a taste of the afternoon show that we're going to start this football season. So that's, you know, that'll be debuting this week as well. We're going to try still to have three shows every day during college football season, and it's even harder to do when Cousin Shane's on vacation, but I'm going to try my damnedest to get him out. And I mean, there's literally no better time right now than college football. And if you're going to get locked in for the season, check out our friends over at MyBookie. Don't forget MyBookie.ag. That's the website. MyBookie's the presenting sponsor this football season. Put in that promo code SEC. If enough of you do this, Shane will stop going on vacation because maybe we can keep, well, I don't want to say that because, hell, he'll probably go on vacation more if we get rewards. So either way, check out mybookie.ag, promo code SEC. They're willing to match your initial deposit all football season long. And, hey, new partners this year. Very happy to be partnered up with Tennessee Legends Distillery Company. They're fueling the show all football season as well. And I'll tell you what, because it's SEC Power Rankings, I don't know if you can see it on the glass, but this is Tennessee Legends right here in my glass. I have not drank since media days. So this is to you, all the cousins. It's hard to keep up with these comments. I appreciate each and every one of you. I swear I'll get to you in a minute. But this is to football. Football's here. Shane's not, but I am. And Tennessee Legends is here as well. So shout out all the sponsors. Shout out Horton Hirschi. He was the first one here. He's been here for about an hour. Hopefully he's still here with all my ramblings here. Okay. I'm glad to see all the cousins having a good time in the comments. Like I said, I'll try to keep up with it as best I can, but it's a little bit more difficult when it's flying solo here. But I do want to shout out the legend, JR. Dun-dun-dun-dun. We appreciate you, JR. Always here, always showing up.
The memberships in this podcast are brought to you in part by Cousin JR.
We appreciate you, JR. He has gifted Wilson family. Wilson, welcome to the family. And also, Horton hears you. Again, he was the first one in here. He's been here for about an hour.
Apparently, Horton couldn't hear you, so he's gifting you a membership.
Shout out, Horton. He just gifted Dude Man. Dude Man, welcome to the family. We appreciate you. And always loyal, always awesome, Steven Up. Steven Up has also gifted a membership. We appreciate you, Steven. Da-da-da-da.
Always showing up for them boys in Tuscaloosa. It's Steven Up. Roll Tide.
Thank you, Steven Up, for gifting OU Jordan. Jordan, welcome to the family. We appreciate you. And, man, so let's get into it here. I'm already drinking. I'm feeling just that little buzz. That's all it takes with the old Tennessee Legends to get you going. So I'm going to take us down for a minute because I've been trying to make the set look nice, adding all the stuff, trying to do, you know, enough color, maybe not too much color. I don't know. I may still mess with it. But that's, again, I told you, this fine whiskey is already kicking in. Let's get into the SEC Power Rankings, week one. It's my favorite things to do here. So if you're new to the show, and just based on the numbers, I think a lot of you are new. I know we're still a couple days away from the actual action on the field, but how I like to do it, Saturday night, after all the games are done, I come in here, I get me some Tennessee Legends, and we sit here and pick apart the SEC with the Power Rankings, and we're going to be doing that right here. Right now, 1 through 16, And I always say this, confuses the hell out of some people. The only criteria I use, if Team A meets Team B on a neutral field, who am I taking to win the football game? That's the only metric I use. And we're going to start, no surprise, who we've been dogging all offseason? Kentucky, dead last, 16th. I don't even know if you can beat Toledo week one. I hope to hell you can, because that's going to be one of the few wins you could probably count on this football season. But, man, anybody that missed it over the weekend, and you probably did because it's Kentucky football, but their running back, we've been trying to tout him up, Seth McGowan transfer. The way I hear it, he's far and away their number one running back. He's injured now. So it's like, what the hell? Can't even count on that. I hope he's all right. Mark Stoops says, we hope he's there by Toledo. You better bet your ass, Mark Stoops, that old Seth McGowan is on the field for Toledo. Otherwise, you may lose that football game. And also, friends of the show, 11 Personnel Podcast, if you're a Kentucky fan, you're going to need you some Tennessee legends to get through this season. But if you're a Kentucky fan, I highly recommend the 11 Personnel Podcast. Adam Luckett, Nick Roush. I was listening to their latest episode. They said the Kentucky staff would be over the moon if this man, Zach Calzada, was the 10th best quarterback in the SEC. That's word for word what they said. Kentucky would be over the moon if he's the 10th best quarterback in the SEC. 10th best? God. You remember when we used to have standards at Kentucky? I mean, it wasn't that long ago. But 10th best for the quarterback, that's... if that's best case, 10th best. Where is he at? In reality, he's probably 14, 15, 16th best, so... I don't know. I'm hoping I'm wrong. I'm praying I'm wrong. But old Kentucky, you're going to be in a dogfight. Toledo and Ole Miss week two, buddy. 16th until further notice, Kentucky. This is sad. I don't feel like wasting any more time on Kentucky. All right, number 16. No surprise. And I'm starting to warm up to this team ever so slightly. I think they're going to prove a lot of us wrong this fall and show signs of life after showing literally none last season. Give me Mississippi State. They got to earn their way back into the top 14. And there is a wide gap right now between 15 and 14, but I think they could do it. So you got to beat Southern Miss. Wide SEC team is on the road week one. At Southern Miss, I'll never know. This, your SEC, this should literally never happen, but apparently it is. So, but I do like Blake Shapen, what we saw from him. Maybe I'm a little influenced as well by the SEC documentary on Netflix that kind of got me behind the scenes there. It was fantastic. Anybody that missed it, Jeff Lebby, it seems like he's in it to win it. They really sell you on Blake Shapen. The problem, Blake Shapen, he got injured and missed the final eight games of last season. But if they can keep him upright, I think Mississippi State's going to be a lot more competitive than people say. And they were literally dog shit on defense. You know, turn that around, and maybe we can swing some of these football games. And there's even a growing sentiment. I don't know where in the hell this is coming from, but Mississippi State fans are, I mean, they're buying in that they can beat Tennessee now. If that happens, we may never see Cousin Shane. He may never come back from the vacation. He'll be taken September 28th if Tennessee loses at Mississippi State. Maybe these Hail State fans are right, but I think that's, this is the perfect time of the season for football fans. If you have missed it, of course, wait till this is done. But we interviewed Brad Powers, Las Vegas handicapper, and... That was all the chat. We put it out on Saturday. Everybody's mad because Brad just keeps it real. And he thinks damn near all these teams are going to go under. And people are not happy because right now, hell, Mississippi State fans are talking themselves into whooping Tennessee's ass. No one's played. Everybody's undefeated. We're all going to be better. Every transfer we got is going to be an impact player. We're not getting worse. We're only getting better. And that is 16 fan bases feel that right now. till reality smacks them in the face here in about a week or two. So, hey, I'm all for it. Everybody's going undefeated. Can't wait for it. But, man, we have talked a lot of Mississippi State. That's enough of that. Number 14 in the power rankings, Vanderbilt. And I actually like Vanderbilt. I think Vanderbilt's going to surprise some people this year. I really do. But what is a surprise at this point? Is it going 6-6, which the same record as last year? But let's shout out Vol Tiger. Let's power rank freeze interviews. I mean, anybody that's buying what that guy's selling, yeah, I can't help you at this point. We have seen enough. Everybody knows who that guy is. I would hope they would know by now. But I think Auburn fans are going to find out here in about a week here. But yeah, Vanderbilt coming up. I watched the Netflix documentary. I'm all in. Diego Pavia, he's going to yoga his ass to the Heisman. Clark Lee, good guy. He's a great guy, actually. You know, can he turn this thing around? I certainly hope so. I mean, I think it's already started. I think Vanderbilt is going to surprise some people, and that's not very bold given that they already have done it. But 4.5, I think that's the most disrespectful over-under in the SEC right now. They're going to smash that. They're going to get to 6 regular season wins, I think, easily. And they'll probably get that 6th one when they beat Hugh Freeze back-to-back years. I'd love that. You know what? All right, number 13. Now we're getting into some good teams, actually. Number 13, warming up to this team too. But I'm just like you guys. I get warmed up to all these teams. Arkansas Razorbacks, 13, Taylen Green. How could you not like this guy? If you don't, you're just a damn hater. You don't know year two, Bobby Petrino, what's coming. It's like a damn train's coming down the tracks, and you're standing in the way with Taylen Green's coming at you and this offense, which apparently this new running back they got, Mike Washington, we talked a lot about him. He was a star of the first scrimmage for Arkansas. Apparently he had an even better scrimmage, number two here in Fayetteville. So that's all great, right? But at the same time, maybe you could sit here and say, well, hell, they must not have a defensive running back, I think, from New Mexico State. I think I could be wrong where Washington comes from. But if he's just tearing us to shreds, you could easily say to defense, maybe they're not doing their part. And I'm fine saying that because I do think Arkansas is going to be pretty bad on defense. But Taylen Green's going to keep him in every damn game they play. As long as he's on, I think he can keep you up competitive in every single game. I really do. Now, what is the ceiling for that? I don't know. And I've got this clip. Anybody that missed it, I mean, this is hilarious. I wish I knew who this was. Maybe someone can tell us who this Arkansas media member is. I'd love to have this guy on and ask him about, what was going on in his head when he was asking Sam Pittman, basically saying no one's excited for you to come into year 6. This is pretty awkward.
And then a lot of talk about, you know, year 2 under Bobby. I guess maybe year 6 under you doesn't sound quite as exciting to the eye. But I guess have you learned anything that, I guess, sorry.
Is there a question in there?
Yeah,
what
yes.
The hell are we doing?
Sorry. I guess, is there anything new that you've learned about yourself that you're looking to take into this year? I guess I should just lead with that.
Yeah, I mean, I think.
What the hell are we doing here? and Pittman kept it together. I could have played the whole clip, but it was kind of, there was not much there. You know, I'm learning every year as I go. We're trying to get better. We just got to not make mistakes. But that, my God, they want you out of there is basically the sentiment, that reporter. Hey, Cousin Shane in the comments, I need some bail money. Hey, give us a donation. Maybe we can bail Cousin Shane out and maybe he can return to the podcast. I would love to know what Shane did. Maybe he can tell us what he did to get in prison there. But we miss you, buddy. This is not nearly as entertaining without you. All right, number 12. Shane, you might want to tune off for this one. Number 12, Auburn, come on down. I ain't buying the bullshit. Who's calling the plays? Nobody knows. Even though it's Hugh Freeze, why can't we just come out and say Hugh Freeze is calling the plays? Well, I'll tell you why. Because as soon as something goes wrong, he's going to say, well, hell, I don't call the plays on first down. We have a horrible third down. Didn't you hear our quarterback coach, Ken Austin? That's his scheme. Who threw it? Who called the interception play? Well, it wasn't me. It was old Derek Nitt. I mean, he just wants something to throw under the bus. And, you know, he's gonna go through each of these coaches. He's going to go through his quarterback coach. He's going to go through his offensive coordinator. And then he's finally going to get to Jackson Arnold. And, you know, there's about six rungs of people we could throw under the bus here. And that's where we're at with Auburn. You got to prove it to me. Everybody's saying you should be better. But, man, I mean, the schedule does, and I hope I'm wrong. I hope, maybe not for Hugh Freeze's sake, but for Auburn fans like Emily, I see her in the comments. For them, I hope I'm wrong. But opening at Baylor, first conference game at Oklahoma and at Texas A&M, buddy. Now you could easily flip it and say, hey, if we are 4-1 after the first five, we're going to have one hell of a season. They may make the playoff if they go 4-1. But if they go 2-3, I think the coach is getting fired. So, I mean, they are walking a tight, tight rope on the plains. I don't think that, we'll know who's calling the plays based on if Auburn is, let's say Auburn is 4-1 and Hugh Freeze is calling the plays. If Auburn's 1-4, Derek Nix, you son of a, that's what it's going to be. that's why we can't get anything clear answers out of Hugh Freeze. But it's the golfing. I mean, we haven't even got to the season yet. Auburn feels like a damn powder keg ready to explode. And I don't mean in a good way. I don't mean like they're going to come out of nowhere and go to the college football playoff. It's like one loss here, one loss there, and the whole thing could explode. And then next thing you know, John Summerall's our football coach like he probably should be. So Auburn, you're number 12. Number 11, this ain't going to be popular, but give me Mizzou. Mizzou, again, you got a manageable schedule. That's why all everybody's talking about. Rated the transfer portal. That's fantastic. But you know what I'm not very fired up about Missouri? And that is that we are naming both our quarterbacks captains, which I do realize that 2 years ago they did that and they won 11 games. So, you know, that's not the end all be all, but it's more the fact that we got a season opener coming up with a critical game week two against Kansas. And we don't know who our starting quarterback is. And then to compound that, we don't know our offensive line. Well, maybe we know it now, but we have to shift everybody on the offensive line midway through camp. So, you know, if you're not being a homer and you're looking at this situation and you're saying, man, they're replacing a lot on offense. They don't know who the quarterback is. They're reshuffling the offensive line. It literally doesn't matter for the Purple Bears, but it'll matter against Kansas if you get beat. And it's sure as hell going to matter September 20th when South Carolina comes to town. You better get all that shit resolved and get it quickly. Now, the defense should be really good. So, again, this isn't doom and gloom. And just because I got Missouri so low here, again, this is on our neutral field. Who am I taking, right? Well, good news for Missouri, you don't have any neutral site games. You got a shit ton of home games. So you could beat damn near all these teams. I think the only one you realistically can't beat at home is Alabama. I think you could beat A&M. I think you could beat South Carolina. Now, they could beat you. You know, I think those are close to 50-50 games, but you're getting the edge. You get them at home. And even better, the road, Auburn, you could beat. Vanderbilt, you could beat. Arkansas, you could beat. Even Oklahoma. If Oklahoma implodes, you could beat them too. So, again, I got you number 11th. Prove me wrong. And speaking of proving me wrong, here's Drink talking about the quarterbacks. Forgot to play this. This is what he's looking for in his quarterbacks here as we inch closer to the season.
Competition right off the bat, Sandy.
Yeah, I think both of them are really straining And, you know, I think when one guy has a big day, the other one knows they have to respond. You know, my challenge for them, they were both, you know, we voted captains yesterday, and both of them were voted captains on the offensive side of the ball, along with Connor Tolleson and Caden Green. But my challenge for them is to lead when you're not the quarterback. You know, don't be in the back just watching the plays. Like, go lead. Go be on the sideline. Go provide energy, because that's really the next step. It's who really rallies the team. And, you know, it was awesome to see both of them get votes. On the defensive side of the ball, Zion Young, Dalen Carnell, Jalen Catalan.
All right, so again, not much, but you got two captains as quarterbacks. That's not a deal breaker by any means. That probably means you got two guys that are solid options, but I'd like this to be resolved fairly soon, and we'll see. We shall see. All right, number 10. Tennessee. Come on down, Tennessee. A lot of the same things I said about Missouri here, where, yeah, number two, you're looking at it, you say 10. Well, hell, that's way too low, right? Well, yeah, maybe, but you're still going to be favored in at least 8 football games, probably. So, again, it's not doom and gloom. The more I hear about, you know, Joey Aguilar, I don't know. He's the guy apparently coming out of scrimmage too. I don't know why they haven't even named him a starting quarterback yet, but I don't think that, you know, he's going to be this guy that comes in here and leads you to a victory over Georgia or anything. And that's kind of what some fans were hoping he would be. Push the ball down the field. Now, again, if he's good enough to beat Syracuse, and then that's fine. And he should be, right? But I don't know. The fact that Mississippi State fans are optimistic that they can beat Tennessee, I think a lot of people are down on Tennessee, as they probably should be. And again, I still think Tennessee can win 8 or 9 football games this year, but I don't think they can beat any of the teams ahead of them on this list today on a neutral field. And a big reason, Gerard McCoy, he didn't practice or he didn't play in the scrimmage, so they're still working him back. All-American in the secondary is gone. I just don't know what this offense is going to be. You know, again, is this a huge separation between Tennessee and the next team? No, not really. But this is a team that the red flags are kind of popping up everywhere, and we'll see how they navigate it. I don't know. I'm very pessimistic on Tennessee right now, and I hope maybe it's just Tennessee Legends. If I drink a little bit more, I think I'll feel a little bit better about Tennessee, I'll tell you that. Yeah, all right, 10 and 2 for sure. All right, number 9. Now, this team is like a damn stone that I just threw into the pond here. I was high on them. I'm high no more, I don't think. Shout out Cornbread. Florida Gators, number 9. I've been on you all offseason, and maybe I'm reading too much into camp and everything that's going with that. But if you missed the news, Florida had their second scrimmage of training camp this weekend. And guess who didn't play? DJ Lagway. So, again, I'm rooting for the guy, right? I've been talking him up. But if you are a Florida fan at this point in time and you are still like in denial of everything we've tried to relay that we're hearing about DJ Lagway, it is August 17th as we're sitting here talking. He's not played in the spring. Remember, and we said, hey, we're hearing bad things. And then they put out a little video of him throwing. Everybody said, oh, he's good. I mean, he's golden. You're an idiot. Shut up. And then training camp gets here. Oh, he's in a boot. We're going to have to hold him out a little bit. We're still, and now it's his quad, and now it's this, and now it's that. I mean, the games are getting here, right? Again, do we need him week one? No. We can roll out any quarterback. It's not about that. It's about, this is a second-year player that has gotten little to no time in practice, any meaningful practice, with any of his new receivers. And they're mostly all new this year. So if you just think you can just roll out the ball and he's going to be looking like $1 million, I hope that's the case. But I'm not buying that. I'm really not. And I've been high on Florida all off season. But I mean, this is like 10 red flags going up. Now, the rest of the team, I think they're going to be really good running the football. I like them on the line of scrimmage. And if the defense really did take a big step forward like they did late in the year, if they could carry that over, Florida's still going to be competitive. But I don't know. Without Lagway, they're not sniffing the playoffs. And I didn't have them pegged as a playoff team with Lagway. I thought they could be like 9-3 and be right there, 8-4, 9-3, what have you. But I don't know how we cannot ignore this anymore. We cannot. And I shall not. So Florida, you're number 9 and you're fading fast. Speaking of fading, I'm fading this team all off season. Ole Miss, come on down, number 8, Ole Miss Rebels. I don't know. I think people are getting, they're looking at the schedule, they're looking at the opponents. We're looking at the resume of Lane Kiffin, and we're saying, hey, they got it. They'll get it figured out. I don't think so. I think Austin Simmons is going to take a little time. I think it's crazy to think that he is just going to be an upgrade over Jackson Dart, who is first-round pick and one of the best quarterbacks in school history. Now, will Austin Simmons be better by the end of his career? Perhaps. But even that, I think, is questionable. To say he's going to be better this year, I ain't buying it. But I do buy Pete Golding. He's done a hell of a job with the defense. I still think there's problems with the offensive line. Who will emerge at running back? I don't know. I think these are legitimate questions, and I just don't quite know what to make of Ole Miss. So I'm putting them right in the smack dab here in the middle. I think they could play with any of these teams, but I think they could lose to them as well. And we saw that last year with an even better team losing to Kentucky, losing to Florida. Cannot have these types of losses like we did last year, Lane Whiffen for a reason. Mm-mm-mm. John James says, Mike sliding back to his 2024 Napier rhetoric. Oh, Billy. Yeah, I didn't even mention Billy in that whole spiel. But to call him a good coach is, you'd be lying your ass off. All right, number 7, speaking of good coaching, this team's got it. South Carolina, they're moving up in the rankings. Teams are moving down. Carolina's moving up. I'm buying back in. All in on Shane Beamer and company. Leroy Sellers, best quarterback in the conference. It's not even debatable at this point. And I think he'll be even better this year. Just need some receivers to step up around him, and we're going to be golden. Need some pass protection. We didn't really get much protection from the offensive line. And look at the numbers he put up. Running for his damn life the whole season. Shane Beamer and company, we got to get off of these slow starts. Slow start will kill us this year. If we start slow against Virginia Tech, Vanderbilt, and at Missouri, they can beat us. And hell, maybe even Kentucky. I mean, not really Kentucky, but who knows? I mean, that's a wild, wild series. But I got confidence in the Gamecocks. I think they're going to be a playoff contender all season long. Maybe it's this Tennessee Legends I'm sipping on. I'm not sure, but I'm all in. It's Cocktober, and it's mid-August for me. So I'm pretty fired up about South Carolina and maybe not as fired up, but LSU, we got them next. I was trying to transition, couldn't figure out how. LSU moving down in my books here. I had them number 4. I've dropped them to number 6. The injury to Nussmeier, certainly not devastating by any means, but that's not a good omen. Not a good omen when your quarterback has already got a little bit of an injury and we're going on the road at Clemson. We got Florida week 3 at Ole Miss week 5. And Brian Kelly doing something very unusual. He said in his most recent press conference, we are basically turning the page to Clemson 2 weeks out. And he said last year for Southern Cal, they did that 5 days out. So I think we know the difference. Can't win a damn home game to save his life. So they're trying something different. So I at least respect the effort to do something a little bit different, but where are we going to be if we lose this opener? I don't know. And I mean, I get it. There's LSU diehards out there. They're going to pick their team in the opener, but who in the hell is picking LSU to win an opener? I think they're delusional until they actually do it. So I don't know. If we're already using up one of our mulligans right out the gate, which I think will be the case unless LSU's taking a major step forward. And quite frankly, I think they're taking a step back. So LSU, you're number six. Number five, another team moving on up. You can bet on Mateer and the Oklahoma Sooners, baby, number five in the power rankings, knocking on the door. I think if a college football playoff, as long as Mateer does not do any parlays or anything like that before the season gets here, I think he'll be pretty solid. You know, even over-unders, let's have him stay away from that. But I think he's going over the win total for sure with Oklahoma. So I don't know. All the camp reports I get, we got all the confidence in the world in Brent Venables to handle the defense. We just can't be as pathetic like we were on offense last year. You know, even if we're an average an SEC offense, and I think they're going to be a lot better than average on offense, I think they're going to give teams fits this year and potentially threaten to win as many as 10 regular season games. So maybe not going quite that far. I think 9-3 is probably more realistic for Oklahoma right now, but I'm all in. I'm all in right now. Of course, you lose to Michigan, I'm all out. So you got me for 2 weeks here. Prove me wrong here. Shout out number four. Now we're getting into the playoff teams, in my opinion. No change for me. Give me Texas A&M. Every time I speak with old Billy Lucci, the only thing he wants to reference is shout out redshirt freshman receiver Ashton Bethel Roman. He says this guy's going to be breakout star for the Aggies this year. He told me he recently got to see practice. He said Marcel Reed looked sharp. Of course, you know, Billy's told me that about every Texas A&M quarterback that has ever put on that uniform. But I believe in him this time. You know, I believe in him because Marcel Reed really burst onto the scene. And then, you know, he hit that freshman wall, I think. And now, as the full-time starter, they've got all these weapons around him. Bussey's breakout candidate. Everything they're saying about Casey Concepcion, got all the running backs back and healthy, got the offensive line. Man, I think this could really be a special year. And we just got all the confidence in the world in Mike Elko to be a defensive, to get the defense right where they were deficient last year, particularly in the secondary. It's going to be tough, though. Lost a lot of good players on that defensive line. They raided the transfer portal to try to shore that up. We'll see if that hits or not. I think they're very, very strong at linebacker as well. So A&M, you know, it's going to come down to Notre Dame. It's going to come down to LSU probably. You got to go 50-50 probably in those two if you want to make the college football playoff. You lose them both, you're probably going 8-4 again because it's Texas 8-4. You know what I mean? So I got A&M. Number four. Number three, even though I have this team winning the SEC, this is as of right now, give me Bama. Number three in the SEC power rankings entering the season. Anybody that missed it, the big news out of Tuscaloosa, running back Jam Miller suffered an upper body injury, out indefinitely. Brett McMurphy of On3 is reporting that the starting running back Jam Miller has a collarbone injury. And it is hopeful that he will be back for the Georgia game. And I saw Josh Pate, the great Josh Pate, he echoed something similar. The feeling is that Jam Miller will be back for SEC play, is what Josh Pate said. So clearly he's talking about the Georgia game there. And Alabama just had a scrimmage. That was where Jam Miller got injured. Apparently Ty Simpson was on fire. Scored multiple touchdowns, and the only incompletion he had was a drop. Now, this could just be propaganda, you know, because they don't let people in there. But, I'm not saying Ty Simpson is going to win the Heisman or anything crazy like that, but if he could just be a caretaker and not screw us over the way that, you know, unfortunately, I was a Milroe fan, but he killed us at times last year. Just don't kill us, Ty, and Alabama's going to do some big things this year. But, again, I can't rightly put you over the top two You got to earn it. And I think they will by the season's end, but not as of right now. Right now, I still got Georgia, number two. Speaking of killing it, apparently Gunnar Stockton was damn near unstoppable down there in Athens. They just had their final scrimmage of training camp. The offense won the day. And, man, this is right where Kirby wants to be. You know, they're talking up Texas. They're talking up Arch, the next Alabama. Just skipping right over Georgia, going right to Sarkin Company. That's perfect. Georgia will take it. Just, you know, they've already got that probably plastered all over their damn locker room and saying, hey, guess who comes to town this year, boys? We got Texas coming. We got Alabama, the real Alabama. We got the next Alabama, apparently, in Texas coming to town. So take care of business. Georgia very well could win the SEC, very well could win the national championship this year. I'm still very, 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 very high on Georgia. I don't think there's going to be much of a drop off. I'm just, you know, just like any team, they can't suffer a ton of injuries and there not be a drop off. That's what killed them late last year. And that's just kind of the state of college football right now. All right. So number one, the new Alabama, Texas, come on. I'm buying into it, I guess. They're the new Bama. They're better than Bama. They'll probably win twice as many titles as Nick Saban ever dreamed about. Have they won one yet? No, they haven't won one yet. But someone said, well, Alabama didn't win any either till they started winning them. So that's where Texas is at. Arch Manning, God's gift to football. He's never had a turnover. Forget those two interceptions. He's never had a turnover in 2025. He's undefeated. He's beaten everybody he's faced. He's never lost a student ID. Arch Manning, this is the year. Who cares? Defense is going to be a juggernaut. Let's go down the schedule. Let's see how many. Okay, Ohio State's going to be tough. Okay, moving on from Ohio State. Remember, DJ Lagway, he probably won't even suit up by October 4th. We own Oklahoma, right? Georgia, that'll be tough. But let's look at this realistically. Outside of Ohio State, which has a new quarterback, replacing a lot of new pieces, maybe outside of Georgia, who is scoring 20 points on Texas this year? Again, outside Ohio, and hell, I'm not even saying Ohio State and Georgia can do it, but who's scoring 20 on Texas this year? I would say maybe Oklahoma, maybe. And that's probably it. So good luck. You're going to have to, if you can hold Sarkisian to under, you know, 21 points, maybe you got a shot, but I don't know. For all I know, Texas could beat the shit out of everybody. So yeah, Texas. I mean, this is their conference now. Texas runs the SEC in the offseason. Number one, best bet. They're number one in the nation, even though they're an underdog to win at Ohio State. Number one in the nation, number one in the power rankings. So I have not meant to ignore your questions, but it's kind of hard to go down the entire list and do all that. So fire away with some questions. We got plenty of time here, and I will address as many as I possibly see. But real quick, want to tell you guys about Poncho Outdoors, ponchooutdoors.com/SEC to get $10 off your first order. What is this poncho you're talking about? Right here. I'm wearing my poncho. I don't know if you can see it in this high definition camera here, but this is poncho gear right here. They've got great stuff. The original Western denim and ultra light, all their clothes. You can get in four different options. You can get it short sleeve. These are long sleeves that I've rolled up. I teach you how to do that one day. Regular, slim fit, ton of colors and patterns. And all of this is backed by Poncho Promise. Free shipping, free returns, free exchanges. How about that? Poncho stands by every shirt and they'll make it right. It's pretty awesome. So check them out. ponchooutdoors/SEC. I'm going to put a link in the show notes. Just click that link. ponchooutdoors/SEC. Get $10 off your first order. It's an Austin-based business, so you already know it's number one in the country. So shout out Poncho Outdoors for sponsoring the show. Let's get to your questions. Again, I'm sorry if I missed any. John Dickinson, welcome to the family. Yes, sir. Boomer. All right. Looking for questions here. How about Michael Dunlap says, Venmo receipt, Shane Bay money. There you go, Shane. I hope all you needed was $5. You're it. You're out. You are out. Shout out Bear Bear SEC, $20. Mike, my wife watches this podcast easy with the poncho shirts. There you go. Appreciate Bear Bear and your wife. Shout out your wife for watching the show. Any other questions here? I'm trying to find some questions here. Jeez Louise, Mike, you look good without Shane. Not a question. I think Jeez Louise been sipping on that Tennessee Legend. I'll take it, though. I'll take a compliment, as rare as they come. Who's this here? Dan Saul. I thought you were better than that. Texas. Pied Piper syndrome sounds like it to me. Oh, my God. I did not read that or see the full thing before I read it, but that's pretty funny. I mean, it's mighty Texas. They're number one in the country. If they're number one in the country, surely they got to be number one in the SEC, right? And here's the beauty. We're going to find out real quick because they open at Ohio State. And even if they lose to Ohio State, which I'm not saying they will, but even if they do, I mean, there's not a better loss in the country than at, what is Ohio State, like 2 or 3 or something stupid like that? So, I don't know. Hey, man with the plan, how about this question? I don't know if I could be doing research while sitting here without Shane. How many SEC teams are starting new quarterbacks and new offensive coordinators? Well, we can't throw Auburn into that mix, right? Because Hugh Freeze, you know, apparently is the coordinator, but he'll blame someone else. So not Auburn. Kentucky, I mean, Kentucky's got a new quarterback. Mizzou's got a new quarterback. Ole Miss, Oklahoma, Tennessee. Yeah, so quite a few. I don't know. This is not Google. How about Jeez Louise? Can Shane ever swim? That's the main question. Can Shane swim? I've actually never seen Shane swim. I believe he can. I know he can float. But can he swim? That I cannot confirm. Matthew Henson, Shane likes Mizzou Tigers? I don't know if you're asking or demanding, but Shane does like the Mizzou Tigers. Shane likes anybody that's going to give him some attention. And Mizzou gives him attention. Hey, shout out, did Cousin Shane get arrested on the golf course? I don't believe he did. I think he did get arrested on the beach. Public intoxication, if I had to guess. Maybe public indecent exposure would be a second guess. Those are probably top two. If I had to guess how Shane got arrested, he's at the beach right now. Apparently there's a hurricane coming through. That is right where Shane is. So he said he may be back early. If thoughts and prayers for anybody, I hope it doesn't land. But if it does, he said he's going to come back early. But I doubt it. Here's another good guess by Bless. Cousin Shane was surfing for sea turtles. I could see that. All right. Any other questions here? Spencer, new member. Spencer, I'll play a little jingle for you here.
Welcome to the family.
Thank you, Spencer. We appreciate you. Anything else? Man, we're so fired up for football. I think what we're going to do, just so everybody, I haven't confirmed this with Shane, but Shane, usually Shane comes up with these ideas and then he forgets all about it. And then it's on me to kind of bring him back up. But I think what we're going to do is we are going to go watch the, for sure, Friday. Oh, and this is kind of confusing because we're about to get into week zero, but week one. So Auburn plays Baylor on Friday. That's the only SEC game on Friday. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to do like a watch along like we did last year for LSU Southern Cal. So we'll turn on the game and we'll just be live the entire time. So you can have the game on, you can have us on, we go back and forth. So that should be pretty fun. And I think we might do something like that also. I don't I can't confirm this because we haven't 100% talked about it, but I think we're going to do something similar for Missouri and Central Arkansas, which is Thursday. We might wait till halftime because that game is probably going to be decided by halftime. We may go live at that point and talk about it. So, you know, let us know what you want to do, what you'd be more interested in. If you guys would be interested in that at all, I think that would be fun. I think it was fun last year when we did it. Jackson Arnold throws 400 yards on Baylor, says Macklin. Wow, 400 yards? Has Jackson Arnold ever done that? I don't think so. 1,400. I'm going to look up Jackson Arnold last year. Of course, you know, Auburn's offense should be a hell of a lot better than old Oklahoma was last year. But his career high for passing, he had 361 against Arizona, so maybe he does got that in him. That was in the bowl game. But last year at Oklahoma, his high was 225 yards against South Carolina. So 400, that seems a bit rich, but if they do it, if he passes 400 yards, they're gonna whoop Baylor's ass. I'll tell you that right now. And I hope it does happen. I never liked Baylor ever since their... Well, just Google that. When Vol Tiger says with three picks and two fumbles. Oh, you son of a... Okay. Anything else here? Oh, we just got a donation. Shout out Bear Bear. Mike and Shane, better than the mannequin. That's what I'm saying. They don't drink on there. They have commercials. We don't do commercials. Shout out Poncho Outdoors. Tennessee Legends. But we won't stop the show to do commercials. I'll tell you that. And here's the one thing. You know, this is a small complaint because I do enjoy the Manning cast. I think they do a terrific job. But one thing that I really don't like about it is they'll be watching a game and then they'll have like, hey, let's call LeBron. And they're like, they stop focusing on the game. They start talking to LeBron or let's have The Rock on. And I mean, that's cool that you can get The Rock and get him on, but you know, there's a damn game on. if you want to do a podcast with The Rock and all these people, just fucking do it. But maybe not during the middle of the game. That would be my advice to old Manning cast. Ooh, here's another idea. Michael Dunlap, do a Sunday afternoon Carolina, Virginia Tech. Now we're cooking. Now here's the problem. B. Diddy, you should do a live cast of a game of the week. But yeah, it's hard to do that because there's so many games on. And I don't know. It's very difficult to do that. But we can do it if there's just one game on. Which is why we really want to do it for Auburn Baylor, and this Sunday is a good idea with Carolina, Virginia Tech perhaps, and the Mizzou, Central Arkansas game. So those could be fun if they're a standalone. We can get everybody watching. It just makes a lot more sense, in my opinion. And now I have turned this into a damn war in the comments. It wasn't so much about who the Manning cast is. I just find that annoying. It's just forced. But be that as it may, any other questions here? What is the over-under on beers for the watch party? Ooh, that's a great question. Shout out Liquid Flames. Over-under, well, and they really stretch these bad boys out, right? So we're talking 3.5-4 hours. You know, we'll try to keep it together. So over-under is probably 5.5, if I had to guess. Shout out Stringer Films. Which network will Mark Stoops be on next season? I don't think any will have him. Maybe does the Sun Belt have a network? I don't think he's engaging enough to be on a network, but maybe ACC. I can see that. Ken, Cousin Ken says, set up a table on Saturday morning and have Cousin Shane pick the games on YouTube. That'd be fun. I think we've tried that, and it doesn't work that well. Because everybody's locked into game day and their games. But, you know, maybe we do that at some point. Thoughts on Iowa State, Kansas State? I have no thoughts. But I'm just damn glad college football's back. I don't know anything about those teams. I will watch it. I will enjoy it. I will have some Tennessee legends as I sit there and enjoy it. But I'm just in it to watch some football. Really enjoy the show. Hope you're wrong about Mizzou. Well, I'm wrong about as often as I'm right. So There you go. Live cam of Shane during the Bama game. Shane won't do the live cams other than the streams. I've tried to talk him into it. He's a viral moment waiting to happen. Anything else? I'm just sitting here reading comments here. But again, hey, so we're going to be live all week. It's probably going to be different times. I'm going to try to keep it consistent. But with Shane out, I got to reach out to different guests. So we'll see how that goes. But plan on trying to get here normal time most of the nights, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 Central. That's a game plan. But again, I have to work with other people's schedules. That's the only time that we may have to change it up. So it's a good time now, if you haven't already, to subscribe and keep the notifications on, so you'll be notified of when we go live. And cousin Shane is on vacation all week, so no morning show. But I may just jump on here in the morning and do it myself, because I need to. Remember, Shane the last episode he did, he said this is all about showing up, doing the work. And then he took a vacation as college football started. But somebody's got to show up. Somebody's got to do the work. And I'm here. I'm here for all of you. College football right around the corner. So we ought to hop on here and just talk some football. I think I'll do it next morning. It sure as hell is not going to be 7:30, 6:30, whatever the hell time. I don't wake up till about 8. So it'll be 8:30, 9 o'clock, because it takes me that long to wake up. But maybe I'll just do the morning shows for him too. Yeah, morning show at noon. That's what I'm talking about. Is Shane really in prison? Not in prison, in jail. Prison comes after. It takes a couple weeks for him to be to get to prison. So, shout out JP too for putting this together. We do appreciate it. Today's shout outs: Cousin JR, Steven Up, John Dickerson, Hog Wild, Horton Hears You, Midland Sooner, Michael Dunlap, and Bear SEC. Thank you all for the donations. I'm running out of whiskey. Shane is not Myrtle Beach. He's down there somewhere. He's very close to it. I can't remember the beach he told me to. But yeah, he's down there. He's down there somewhere. But I was trying to get off here, because I'm kind of running out of things to say. But hey, tune in. Yeah, I'll do it. I'll do it for Shane. I'll do all Shane's work for him. I'll be here tomorrow morning, locked in, and then we'll be same time in the evening, Stephen Lassen. So we got two shows coming your way Monday. But that's all. I really appreciate each and every one of you. College football is finally here. Week 0. Embrace it. Enjoy it. Cheers to each and every one of you. We'll catch you tomorrow. Have a good night.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.